Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome back to Little House of the Dragon, a House of the Dragon review show here on the Putting on Airs network, as it were, a sister show to Putting on Airs, because this is my sister, Kirby Askew, Lady Kirby Askew, first of her name. I, of course, am Lord Corey Ryan Forrester, first of his name. And by the way, if you're not watching the video of this, winter is coming.
I'm freezing.
Is it not?
So cold.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't say anything to me yesterday of like, hey, are we still going to shoot outside?
So well, I know. Like, yeah, well, why not? I mean, I just like forgot how cold it is in the mornings. It's the wind.
Yeah, my ears it is the wind.
But like, I'm happy to be outside. It's like refreshing to be outside. So
yeah. So episode 6 was a banger. Before we get into breaking down scene by scene, we have a very special guest this week that's going to do our lightning round. So without further ado, take it away. Howdy, y'all. My name is Drakkar Noir. I'm a dragon native to North Westeros, Georgia. I get my name from my uncle's favorite cologne that he used to wear. And I'd like to thank Lady Kirby and Lord Corey for letting me do this here lightning round recap of episode 6. So without further ado, here we go. All right, so the show opens up and shoo-wee, is she pregnant? She's grunting, she's growling, she sounds like somebody's flooding the engine on a Hemi, you know what I'm saying? So she does all that, she gives birth, then she kind of farts out the afterbirth, and then wouldn't you know it, the dadgum queen is just like, hey, bring that baby in here real quick. So the prince and the princess do sort of a walk of shame through the halls, like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Yeah, baby, just had it. It was in there, now it's out here. I'm just doing the, no, yet, no, queen won't see me. I know, not really the time, I'd think, but, you know, she's the, she leads by divine right and all. You know how it goes. So they talk to the queen. She's like, girl, you should be resting. She's like, yeah, no sh-. They name the baby Joffrey, which I personally think is a bad call. Harwin, a.k.a. the baby daddy, meets the baby. Them little youngins who, if I'd acted like them, I would have been slapped. They go down the dragon pits and they pull a prank on this little boy, give him a pig. Yada, yada, yada. Alicent walks in and Prince Aegon is, how shall I put this, going to town on himself. I mean, he just had his wiener whipped out in front of God and everybody, y'all. So she's like, listen, you're going to have to challenge the throne. He's like, I don't want to challenge the throne. She's like, your mere existence means that you are a challenge to the throne. I don't know what you don't understand about this, you little idiot. You know what? Why don't you just go ahead and pull your pecker out and stare out that window? You seem to be good at that. Lena and Daemon get offered a pretty sweet spot in Pentos, and Daemon's kind of like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. And Lena's like, no, I want to be back at home. Aegon's in a play fight. He starts talking trash. Next thing you know, Kristen Cole talks some more trash. Harwin comes down there and gives him what we like to call the what fur. The Hand of the King, Lionel's upset about this because he thinks that it's disgraced everybody, so he's going to have to run off, go back to Harrenhal, tail tucked between his legs. The princess and Laenor have a pretty big fight because he's out swashbuckling and is like, hey, I'd like to do a lot more swashbuckling if that's cool with you. And she's like, you know what? No, you got to stay here. I'm the queen. That's all there is to it. Okay? The council meets. They propose another marriage with cousins so that hopefully everybody will be satisfied. Viserys is like, please, for the love of God, can we get along, y'all? Lionel tries to resign, but the king is like, don't you quit on me. Laerys goes, and he's being a bit of a prick, and he cuts the tongue off all these prisoners just to be like, hey, I can do that. Lena's in labor, and it's not going well, y'all, and it looks like we're about to lose the baby. She starts screaming. She's having it doggy style. Daemon's like, oh, my God, can we save my lady? And they're like, I don't know about that. Then she goes down to the beach, and she has her dragon breathe on her to death. Yada, yada, yada. Rhaenyra tells Laenor, like, you know what? We got to get out of here. We got to go to Dragonstone. Everybody's running down my name. They're talking a bunch of trash. I can't deal with it. Screw this. Let's go back over there. All right. And you know what? Take your boy. Take Carl. Totally cool. Viserys is brokenhearted. Allison's upset about this whole thing. And Laerys comes back and he's like, oh, I did something for you. And that thing that he did, by the way, was he burnt down Harrenhal with the king's hand and Harwin inside it. The baby daddy's gone. The baby daddy's dead. I got to tell you, I don't think Laerys is a good person. Then a rat crawls on the mantle. And that's lightning round of the show. Y'all break it down better than I do, so get to it. Lord Corey and Lady Kirby.
So episode 6, called The
Princess and the Queen.
Princess and the Queen. Mm-hmm. We open up. First thing, of course, everybody's going to notice is that we have completely recasted. And mm-hmm. we have brand new actors and actresses. Or, well, just actors. I think they all prefer to be just called actors. Mm-hmm. It's dumb that there's a female like equivalent. Like, you, if a woman was a mechanic, you wouldn't call her a mechanicress,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, but I'm glad that there's an actress section, just because if there wasn't, then Oscars. Women would never win Oscars because yeah. of all the old white men would just give it to, you know, the Leonardo DiCaprio's of the lot.
Well, I mean, to be fair to Leo, he's only won one.
I know, but you know what I'm
yes,
saying.
Yes, I do know what you're saying. We have recasted and we open up with one of the, I'm going to call it, squishiest birth scenes that we've ever seen.
I loved it.
I know. I thought it was great. I'm certain that there's been more realistic birth scenes in like some avant-garde movies, but it was, you know, they went there. They mm-hmm. really, really went for it. It was squishy. She was in a lot of pain.
It was so realistic.
It was very realistic. And you're saying that as someone who has given birth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to say I thought it was realistic, but I've never actually been a part of one.
Just the sound of, like, normally there's not sound effects like that, and there were straight up sound effects. I also appreciated that, like, there was the moment of, oh, I have to deliver the afterbirth because that's a real thing. And they never show that in movies, and that's a real thing that women have to do. I thought that was cool.
And that was also arguably the squishiest part of it.
Yeah, it was pretty squishy.
I wanted to ask you, because again, I've never been a part of giving birth, but would it have been more realistic had she been, shouldn't she have farted a little bit? Like, shouldn't she have been farting?
That might have been the one thing that wasn't realistic.
So that's true. That's real. If you fart, you have to fart. Like, I can't pee without farting.
You poop.
Yeah,
sure.
Poop and fart and all that, which, you know, that could have been what the squishiness
was.
Yeah,
but I'm glad. I'm glad they left that out, just because there should not be any giggles during this scene. And there could have been a giggle. You can't fart in this show.
No, you can't fart in this show.
No.
So she gives birth, and then immediately the queen's, not hand, but one of the queen's, you know, handlers or whatever mm-hmm. comes in and is like, "The Lady Allison would like to see the baby at once." And I guess, to be fair to Allison a little bit, they didn't say, "Hey, the queen wants you to drag your..."
That's true.
But it's still a little like, wait, hold on just a second. Like, a newborn baby kind of has to... Which, by the way, the baby was, you know, it obviously not a direct newborn baby, but it was a pretty... recently born
and
baby.
That's always something that cracks me up in these like shows and movies. It's like, are women just in the hospital? Like, hey, is there any movies going on?
No.
Do you want my baby?
That's what I was going to ask. Cause like this baby was clearly hadn't been born that long ago.
It was at least just a week or two old or something.
Right. So
yeah.
Like, I guess that casting process is like, they find a woman who is about to give birth and be like, "Hey, by the way, can we mm-hmm. we'll pay your hospital bills or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, we need your baby."
Mm-hmm.
So
I always thought that was just strange.
It is strange. But like a lot of times in movies, they have what is clearly a year-old infant or something. But
I know.
Which kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, but this is a newborn.
This is a newborn baby. We do something that I haven't seen done in Game of Thrones since the Battle of the Bastards, which was a very cinematic one-shot. I don't know if you noticed that, but the giving birth, walking up to Allison, till they get to Allison, there's no camera cuts. If they did have a camera cut, then it was brilliantly hidden.
Yeah.
Which means that, like, And I'm speaking from a little bit of experience here, someone who has shot scenes for things. Now, granted, we're not, you know, Shakespearean trained actors mm-hmm. like that of Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. but like doing a full 5, 6, 7 minute scene without breaking yeah. is insane, especially when there's as much going on as someone's giving birth, you're having to walk upstairs, there's a myriad of people that you're having to interact with, and then they do it sort of Aaron Sorkin walk and talk style. Really impressive that, like, at any point, if you mess up, mm-hmm. we got to do this all over again.
Yeah. One of my things that I thought was there's just been so many people that have been like, no, we love the young Rhaenyra. We love the young Rhaenyra. And obviously, like, she was amazing, the young Rhaenyra. But the actor that plays Rhaenyra now, they've done an amazing job.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought it was a wonderful way to, let's do this big scene in where you get to know both of them immediately. You get to see their relationship. Mm-hmm. We're going to do it in a no-cut scene where you can tell, yes, they aren't in love with each other, mm-hmm. but they clearly have, a bare minimum, a friendship.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
like they're there for each other. It's not like Cersei and Robert, where it's like we had a political arrangement and we also hate each other. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like they seem to be like, I'm on your team. Mm-hmm, it was funny when he came in and he's like, was it quite painful?
I know. He's like, I took a lance to the shoulder once. And she goes, my deepest sympathies. Like, I loved that.
In modern day, like if Amber was to give birth and I was to say something like, yeah, I broke my tailbone once. But a lance through the shoulder, I mean, that's got to be pretty painful.
Do you think that he was just trying to make light and he knew that was a joke? Like he
probably.
I think so, too. I think he knew, like, I want to make a little joke because this is such a deep, dark moment. Like, we're having to walk to the queen. Like, yeah. I want to get a little bit of a smile out of you because, no, romantically, I don't love you. But,
yeah,
a
little levity here.
But I love you.
Yeah, a little levity here. Mm-hmm. So they get up, they see Alicent, and mm-hmm. Alicent is at least feigning surprise at like, oh my God, I can't believe that you
should be resting your labors.
No, my dear, I know that mm-hmm. I wanted to bring forth the baby immediately, but you should be resting. Your nether regions must be aflame.
Yes, and that's the first scene that we see grown up Alicent, and I mean, wow.
Great casting job.
God, great casting. Yeah. Great casting.
Great, absolutely wonderful casting job. And we get in there, and she makes the offhand remark to Laenor. She's like, don't worry, dear, try again, and you'll have one that looks like you. So that's our first, like, oh, okay. So it's like they're having kids that it's a this is not Robert's kids situation again, mm-hmm. except for not born of incest, mm-hmm. but clearly we all know that she has a lover, and we're saying it out loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what she means by mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
So he's not fooled by any of this, well, like Robert was with Jaime's kid.
And this just shows how strong Harwin Strong Seed is, that three kids, none of them have white hair.
Right.
Well, Viserys and Alicent, she's not a Targaryen, but her kids have the Targaryen hair.
Right.
So what are the odds that not one of the three have white hair?
No, I agree. And with that, too, like,
at least just a dirty blonde.
Yeah, right. I understand that he's biracial, so it would make sense that it's like, well, their kid's not going to come out, like, you know, I don't know anyone to say this, but like, very dark.
Yeah.
But, like, is nobody confused as to that it's just a white kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, well, the thing is there's a lot of people not confused. They're just
not saying anything out loud mm-hmm. because, as Viserys says to Alicent later, he's like, the consequences of such allegations that you're toying with would be dire. Close mm-hmm. your mouth at once, wench.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else happens up there when Alicent's talking to him?
Basically, that's the whole spiel. Like, you know, it's obvious that she knows that the baby is, you know, not Laenor's. And she didn't even need to see the baby to know.
Right.
She knows they don't sleep together.
Right.
No baby that Rhaenyra has is Laenor's.
And he was like, in the last episode we saw, he was pretty, I mean, to use the only phrase coming to my mind, pretty gay out loud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like gay out loud is gall. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But like I'm saying, like everybody knew he was in love with the Joffrey feller.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's not like they're not doing a great job
that
of covering
reminds
it up.
Me. One thing that happened in that scene is that Allison's like, what's the baby's name? And Lainor cuts Rhaenyra off. And he's like, just names it Joffrey. Which, I mean, I thought was just bold. Like, you know, like, let's talk a little bit. Like,
and, yeah, and she's like,
that's not a Valyrian name.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I just want it to be named Joffrey. And she's like, shouldn't I have a say? And he's like, well, it's just as much my kid, too. And she's like, well, yeah. You didn't carry it, you know?
Yeah, I don't want it to be obvious that I'm Gaul. Yeah. Because yeah, right. I'm naming this baby after my lover that was killed by Sir Criston. So, but, you know, whatever.
Like, it's not even... Right.
Lainor deserves to have something.
I 100% agree. Mm-hmm. And but from her perspective, and she didn't even bring up what you just said, mm-hmm. but, like, if anyone didn't know that this marriage was a sham marriage mm-hmm. because he's gay, it's like, I'm pretty sure naming the kid after someone who was famously murdered mm-hmm. by a Knight of the Kingsguard is going to make some mm-hmm. people go... Wait a tick.
Yeah.
It's not the fella that always had choice.
Yeah, and it has no is or a in it.
Right, exactly. You
know? It should be Joffreyus.
It's also
Joffreyon.
It's also another thing I think bold of the show to like introduce yet another character named Joffrey mm-hmm. that we're supposed to mm-hmm. just accept and not think, oh, is this kid going to grow up to be a little demon?
Well, or is this just a bad omen? Like, we're just showing that, because, I mean, we get introduced to Joffrey, he gets killed, you know, last episode. Like, is this a bad omen that this baby's name is Joffrey?
Exactly. And we also...
doesn't need to go to any weddings.
We also see that they have several other kids that...
Yes.
Know, basically, this episode was kind of like another pilot. Like, we're having to give it a lot of exposition here mm-hmm. to let you know, because 10 years have passed. Mm-hmm. We're having to catch you up, but catch you up really quick. And I think they did a great job mm-hmm. of that. We see Sir Harwin come in. Just to meet his baby and be very obvious about it.
Yeah, but it's just he's in the private chambers with her and Lainor. They all have an understanding, so they can be comfortable.
That's true.
And
so,
it's so sweet.
And this is when we find out that him and Rhaenyra have been having a fling. Does Harwin kind of remind you of Rip from Yellowstone?
Yeah, he does.
He looks a lot like him.
Ooh, one more reason to add him to the daddy list.
He looks a lot like him, but he also has like that same type of energy.
Manly.
I'm the man. I ride horses.
I'm going to chop some wood.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to probably beat somebody up later who tries to sully...
This is just
your
making
honor.
My heart more broken.
I know.
Sully, your honor.
Yeah, is that not how I'd say it? So, after this, what happens? I don't remember.
After that, Alicent and Rhaenyra's kids are in the dragon pit.
Oh, yeah, they sit because the little son comes in and is like, can I hold my baby brother?
Yeah, and Lainor's like, no, go to the dragon pit.
Off to the dragon pit with you. Be a real boy.
Yeah, so they're in the dragon pit. Vermax. That's the dragon. The smaller dragon that comes out and, you know, burns the goat alive, which we talked about. Why couldn't they just kill the goat and then let him burn it? Like, they're like, no, he likes it when it's alive first.
Yeah, it's for him.
He wants to kill it. It's the hunt. So, Aemon, who is the youngest of the king's sons.
By the way, great. We've got so many more names to remember.
I know, right?
So many more. We just got good at this.
Yeah, the king's sons are Aegon and Aemon. Aemon's the younger one. He doesn't have a dragon yet, even though Aegon and Rhaenyra's kids do.
Because dragons were scarce.
Yes.
Wasn't a whole lot
and
of dragons.
And I still am not clear about the, like, who gets to have a dragon. I'm just, is it like, oh, well, y'all all get eggs and some of them hatch,
and
some of them don't?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
because Alicent ends up saying to Viserys, like, I'm surprised Rhaenyra's kids' eggs hatch. Like, they're not worthy of them hatching.
Right, and that's really what they believe. It's not like a chance. It's like, I think from that, it's like,
that's true.
Because that's how they do with everything. I mean, like, you know, the,
George R. R. Martin, if you're listening, let us know.
Yeah, holler at us. But, like, you know, like, trial by combat. They let the gods decide all these things, so I don't see why that would be any different.
Yeah, Aegon and Rhaenyra's kids are like, okay, Aemon, we found a dragon for you.
Yeah, got you, bro.
Got you, bro. And Aemon, you know, he could tell, he's like, okay.
Oh, sweet.
Well, all of a sudden, this pig comes out.
Poor pig.
Out of the dragon pit with wings, and they call it Pink the Dread.
Yeah,
is that
Pink,
it?
Pink the Dread.
Pink the Dread.
Yeah.
It's just sad. No, Behold the Pink Dread is what they say.
The Pink Dread.
And it's so sad. And then we cut... My God bless. Well,
having a pet pig wouldn't not.
No. Well, they all leave except Aemon. And Aemon's like, you know what? I'm just going to go down in the dragon pit.
Yeah.
For some reason. So he goes down in there. Vermax blows his fire. It doesn't get Aemon, but, no, but it scares him. It's close.
When he ducks down, you can see the
yes,
like flame and stuff.
Yeah. Cut to that. Alicent is talking to Helena, her daughter, who's a bug girl. Vibes.
A bug girl.
Yeah, she collects
bugs. Oh, she
bugs.
Collects bugs. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
she's like a horse girl, but with bugs.
Yes, okay. Because we're talking about a show that probably has centaurs in it, I thought you meant like how they, how Rhaenyra's the dragon. It's like, she's like, I am the bug.
I just love seeing a girl that has like an interest besides just wanting a boyfriend. So I was like, oh, cool. Like, she's got her centipede and all this.
She's a bug girl.
Vibing. And Allison's trying to be like attentive, you know, and listening to her and
you
stuff.
You playing with your bugs, love.
Yeah. And so they're having this little conversation. So then Aemon busts up in there and he's all upset. And
they gave me a pig, Mommy.
Yeah, he's all dirty. It's obvious he's been in the dragon pit, just, you know, corruffing in there.
Corruffing in the dragon pit.
Yeah. And so Allison's like, oh my gosh, when are you going to let this go? And he's like, Mother, they gave me a pig. And so she's like, oh my gosh. Cut to, she's like, all right, you know what? Before she walks in on Aegon, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, I wanted to say this to you earlier. When she is saying you will get a dragon basically before too long, Helena is looking at her bugs and she says he'll have to close an eye. And this is not a...
What do they mean by that?
If you look at the trailer for the show, so this is not a spoiler if it's in the trailer.
Of course.
If you look at the trailer in the show, eventually Aemon has a patch on his eye.
Oh, yeah.
So there's going to be a situation that was foreshadowing.
But why would she say that?
I don't know. Maybe she just knows.
Like, is she a witch?
I don't know. I hope so.
Because that is...
Actually, I don't hope so, because that means that her fate isn't good. They'll just burn her.
You like Allison?
No, I'm talking about... No, Helena said that. The daughter said that.
Yeah, okay. Helena.
Yeah, no, I don't like Allison. No, the daughter said it.
Yeah, I went from, like, Allison is like, oh, she was in a bad situation, whatever, to now I'm just like, no, you got way more control than you think. You're not a victim. You suck.
Yeah. Well, after that...
Oh, we didn't talk about Viserys meeting his kid, and we see that he only has half an arm.
This is right after that, so I was about to say. Right after that, Alicent's like busts up in, you know, her in the king's chambers, and she's just like, she tells the king to have one child like that is, you know, ridiculous.
Whatever,
but to have three is a complete, like, insult.
It's an anomaly.
Yeah, and he's just like, I once had a raven-haired mare.
Yeah, and it got and with it a silver hair.
And it got with a silver hair, and it ended up being chestnut. Yeah. You know, and Allison's just like, did you watch them do it? Like, you don't know if that's the dad or not.
Let me tell you this horse story.
I don't know if it's like, part of me was like, does Viserys actually kind of think there's a chance, or is he just literally the most accepting, loving father? He just wants Rhaenyra to be happy. Like,
well,
and he, by the way, he doesn't have an arm. He's missing an arm.
Yeah.
Missing an arm.
Two things could be true, I guess. Like, he's just, you know, he's just in denial, like, knowing denial or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or he just needs to believe it so much.
Yeah.
But you can, I mean, he's shushing her away, like, listen, listen. Things are pretty good right now.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of how things are going.
Let me build my Legos with my one arm. Let my child just be happy. And, you know, Allison, like, all you've got to do is sit around and eat cheese and grapes, but you just got to make a kerfuffle of things. So cut to, she leaves there, and she's just, like, so mad. And Sir Criston, you know, he's the King's Guard, so he's just always in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, they start walking, and there's some spider reference about how Rhaenyra is a spider, and then Sir Criston, just not knowing his place, just calls her a spoiled see you next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Allison looks at him, because it's funny, she thinks that, but she knows,
you
that's a princess, and you're and she's technically my family. Like, you're not supposed to call her that.
Yeah, like, you're just a lowly F boy.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, What a heel turn for Sir Criston.
We talked about it last week. It just cracks me up how a man can think that a woman can sleep with him and that she owes him marriage, love, her whole life, everything, just because she slept with him once. Like, she doesn't owe you anything. I
saw a meme that we might talk about in the Reddit keep, but it makes more sense here. And it was basically showing that everything that happened to Sir Criston also happened to Gendry Baratheon, except for Gendry Baratheon was just like, okay, well, I can't own you. So
yeah, he was like, go off, queen.
Yeah, whatever. If you don't want to marry me, it's fine. I'll just go back and make me helmet.
God, we stand a respectful
man. I love Gendry. So many people that were like, Gendry was pointless. Mm-hmm. I was like, Gendry was just a light of pureness in a horribly dark world. I'm mm-hmm. sorry that he wasn't a butthead and more interesting. He was sweet.
He was sweet. He was very sweet. Well, after that scene... Allison, and I don't want to go into complete detail.
Go ahead.
Allison walks in. Aegon is in the window and just having a little fireman time.
We can use Tyrion's vernacular. He was making the bald man cry.
Yes, it's very awkward. You see his face. Well, she just walks in and is basically like, hey, which I just thought was crazy because any kind of startle, he could just fall out of that window.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, that window is the same window that Tommen committed suicide out of.
Because I'm an idiot, I didn't notice, but you immediately...
Well, that's not dumb. I just saw it online.
Well, I should have known because they framed it the same way, too. But, like, you told me that, and I was like, oh, that's mm-hmm. wonderful. That mm-hmm. is the same one that poor little sweet Tomlin...
So, Aegon, you can tell, like, he's not power hungry. He's just kind of a butthole kid.
Yeah, he's a butthole kid.
Yeah, like, he's just kind of a mean kid, but he's not like, oh, I just want to be on the throne. He's just wanting to be a teenager.
He's not... evil Joffrey.
No.
I could do anything. Like,
he's just spoiled. I've had everything handed to me.
Exactly. He's not like killing animals mm-hmm. and yeah.
She basically says, like, you need to get ready to be on the throne. And he's like, you know, Rhaenyra is, you know, the heir. And she's just like, you know, the whole kingdom knows that you're the firstborn. You're supposed to be. And he's like, basically saying, I don't want to challenge her.
And she said,
you are the challenge.
Yes.
You are the challenge simply for existing, my dear boy. How? You're almost a man grown. How can you not see it? How can you be so blind to your destiny?
Yeah. That.
Yeah.
And, which, good. She has a point.
She does have a point. It's like, listen, even if you're just like, don't worry about it, I ain't gonna do nothing. Like, she could still very much just chop your head off. That way you uh-huh. couldn't even get any ideas.
Mm-hmm. So we have this intense moment. Cut to Daemon and Laena are in Pentos, and they're on their dragons, just doing a little show.
When you hear Pentos, do you get hungry?
Yeah, Pinto beans.
Because I think of Pinto beans.
I had Pinto beans in my soup last night.
Every time I hear Pentos, I'm like, I miss Granny.
Oh, no, God. Pentos and an onion and some smelly cabbage.
Oh, and some cornbread.
It smelled like a fart in her house.
It smelled like the best fart in the world.
The best fart.
Love you, Granny. Miss your farts.
Yeah, I love you, boo. So, they're in Pentos, and Laena and Daemon are, you know, they're married. Laena is Rhaenys and Corlys's daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their kind of little bit of a moment at the wedding in last episode.
Was the even in this episode?
No. Neither. Next week he will be, though.
Yes, and neither was Otto in this episode.
No, because he was banished.
Yeah, no, I know, but, you know, they could have showed a scene of him being banished.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, they're kind of just doing their own little, like, horse and pony act
mm-hmm.
For the people of Pentos. Like, let me show you how cool my dragons are, like, blah, blah, blah. Well, Laena says, you know, Dracarys, and Daemon just flies through the flames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I guess a dragon can't be hurt
I'm
by
so
fire.
Confused by that. Well,
me too, because it's like, are they part dragon?
Well, we end up finding out that some of them can be burned, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
So,
the second Viserys.
And somebody else in the show.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes. But yeah, no, the second Viserys really wasn't a flame. It was just, it was a metal.
Yeah, but so hot couldn't hurt Daenerys.
Yeah, no. But I did see online.
A crown for a king.
That the reason that Daenerys was able to walk through the fire was because she had witch magic from, you know, the whole...
The lady did the...
So there's... I've seen where people think that's really what it is because there's no mention in the books that that Targaryens are fireproof.
Okay, but before the witch did all that stuff, there's the scene where she grabs a dragon egg.
Yes, they say they're kind of fire resistant,
Flame retardant.
Yes, yes. That happens. They're just showing off their skills. Like, here's my dragon buddies. We're flying. Cool. Then we get to dinner. We're in Pentos, and the prince... Reggio. Yeah. He offers Daemon's family permanent residence in Pentos. He's like, you know, you have a castle.
Servants.
You can be lord and lady. Like, you can just vibe, live, like, just be cool. We just want your dragons, and we just want the world to know y'all are here because that makes us safer.
I would have taken that deal in a heartbeat.
Of course.
And so,
Lena, who it's obvious that when she speaks up first, it's obvious that her and Daemon have a very... They see each other equally.
Right.
Because a lot of other relationships, the woman couldn't just speak up like
no,
that.
No, they would, Daemon would just
when
be
I
like,
say
this
relationships
what
in that time, I'd say hopefully nowadays they can speak up a
little
better.
I mean,
maybe.
We both know that in some they cannot.
In some, but...
In an ideal relationship, yes. But back then, it was just, that was the culture.
Yeah, so she speaks up and it was like, you know... No, I don't think so.
Blah, blah, blah.
And Daemon grabs her hand and looks at him, and he was like, we'll entertain the offer. Well, Lena, it upset her.
Yeah, and they show that by her letting go of his hand. I love it in shows when they show don't tell, because it was perfect. There was no line of dialogue.
Yeah.
It was just like, that don't work for me.
Yeah, she felt betrayed by that. And then we cut to Daemon and her have a conversation. And she's saying, like, Daemon, you're better than this. Like, we're not just going to, like, lay up all, you know, easy peasy and Pentos. Like, I want to go back to Driftmark. I want to have my baby in Driftmark. Like, we're not supposed to be here. And Daemon's like, can't we just, like, for once, just, like, be rich and
just vibe
and be rich and not have to worry about just all the politics? And he has a good point.
I
don't want to play the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, right.
I just want to live.
Why? Like, what? Yeah. Like,
it's refreshing to have a character just say that finally.
Right. That's like, listen, that all sounds great, but like, we could have an equally rich life and not have to worry about all the politics and stuff of it.
And she's like, you know, no. This is not the Daemon I married. I want to go back to Driftmark. And when I die, I want to die a dragon rider's death, which, by the way, she is very obviously full-term pregnant.
Foreshadowing.
And, you know, pregnancy is a very scary thing in the Game of Thrones universe.
Mm, for sure.
So he puts his hands on her belly, and it's kind of like a little bit of a moment. And then we cut to the princes. We got Viserys' kids and Rhaenyra's kids. They're practicing. They're not.
Yeah.
They're not. And... They're not. And Sir Criston Cole's training them, and he's just being a butthole. You can tell.
I mean, he sucks, dude.
Yeah, he's obviously likes Viserys' kids more than Rhaenyra's. He hates Rhaenyra's.
Yeah.
And
they should have been mine.
Yeah. And so Sir Criston Cole tells Aegon to basically be relentless in your fight with, I think it was Jacerys, Jace. He's like, go for it. Like, basically beat him up. Well, Sir Harwin's out there, and he's doing this because he's wanting to make Sir Harwin mad.
Of course.
Well, Sir Harwin's like, stop. Like, don't do that anymore. Like, stop. I mean, that is... You good?
I farted.
Yeah, you did.
Hold on. I tried to just squeak one out.
It didn't work.
It was pretty deep.
Yeah. So, Sir Harwin... Sir Criston Cole's doing this to make Harwin Strong mad. It's obvious he's wanting to get her eyes out of him. And Harwin's like, hey, stop. Like, stop, stop, stop. Eventually, in this moment, I can't remember what Sir Criston said, basically, you're acting like only person that would get mad like this is if this was a brother
or cousin
or if this was their son. So that sets Harwin Strong off, and he just absolutely beats the crap out of Criston Cole.
And they shoot it the same way that they shoot Kristen Cole beating up Joffrey.
Yeah.
And there for a second, I was like, do it.
And it was so obvious that Kristen Cole wanted that. He wasn't fighting back.
Right, right. Because when he gets up, he spits and he's just like, so I thought.
That was on purpose, obviously. And he's just like, just as I thought or something like that. And
see, now everyone knows. Yeah. And everybody's like, we already knew. You didn't have to do that.
Then we cut to Lionel, the Hand of the King, which I forgot that he was Harwin Strong's dad.
Me too. I had totally forgotten that.
Yeah. So we cut to him having a conversation with Harwin. He's like, you disgraced this, you know, family. And Harwin makes a great point. He was like, literally, the future heir to the throne, because it's Rhaenyra's son, and that's the line of succession, was being attacked.
Right.
And, like, I did something about it.
I did the right thing.
And, yes, I attacked a King's Guard. But
I'm the Lord Commander.
I'm the Lord Commander of the City Watch. And we had, last episode, the head of the King's Guard, Sir Criston Cole, beat a man to death.
Right.
And literally,
we don't know that there was a trial.
There might have been some punishment, but he still obviously got to be
right. It wasn't
have one of the biggest honors in the realm, on the King's Guard.
He knew that it was so much of a crime that he almost seppuku'd himself, and Alicent stopped him. So, like, if there wasn't a trial, then it ought to have been.
Yeah, and which, you know, Lionel is just trying to be as honorable as possible. He's like, I don't want no one to say there's nepotism going on. Right. I know I am the Hand of the King, but you've disgraced, like, you need to go to Harrenhal, because I didn't realize that Lionel is the Lord of Harrenhal.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, you need to go to Harrenhal, like, we both do. Like, I need to quit, you know.
We're gonna go
to Harrenhal. Like, we just need to, like, chill, let this kind of just play itself out. Right after that, Lainor busts up in the princess's chambers, just drunk with his boyfriend.
Yeah, they're like, when they're in the hall, you can hear him doing what is basically like a
sailor song.
Yeah, or European, like, soccer chant or football to all our European fans.
Well, I say sailor song because he busts up in there and tells Rhaenyra that, like, he just wants to go back to war and just do, he's bored. He's bored, and he's just wanting to go back on the sea.
It was very much like in The Crown when Prince Philip comes back, and he's been drunk with all his buddies, and he tells Elizabeth that he misses the sea and stuff.
Yes,
it was very much that, like, I'm a soldier. This is what I do.
Yeah, that's really exactly how it was.
Yeah.
So he's telling her this. Rhaenyra's like, you know, I've let you just have a good life.
Yeah.
Like, I've never begrudged you when it came to you just having all these boyfriends, lovers, and, like, I just need you to not do this. Like, this is not the time for it. Like, no. And so he just keeps going on, and he's drunk. And she finally says, okay, I guess I'm going to have to play the princess card. I command you to stay here.
And to his credit, he just kind of went like,
okay,
all right.
I'm not going to fight you.
You're right. If you're going to pull rank here, I mean, I'll be subservient like I'm supposed to. And now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, the Reddit Keep, a.k.a. Memes of the Poppy, where my sister mainly has aggregated several memes that she saw from either Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, yada, 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 of House of the Dragons. She's going to share them with us. Kirby, what do you got for us this week?
All righty. This, I don't have the, I don't know who to.
Yeah, we give credit when there is credit to be given, but sometimes people steal them and then whatever you're going to do. Happens to me and my stuff all the time.
I saw this on, like, one of my friends' Facebook pages, like, personal friends, so I'm not going to, like, shout out a name. So, we got Karen from Mean Girls, and it's Alicent. So, if you're Valerian, why are you white? OMG, Alicent, you can't just ask my kids why they're white. Got Rhaenyra down here.
That's perfect. Two of my fandoms coming together.
Viserys making breakfast for his kids, and it's just Rhaenyra getting everything, and then there's just the bread with the hole for Aegon, Aemond, and Helaena. Hilarious. Where is he? Where is my grandson? And what's that?
That's from Tales from the Crypt.
Okay, so he's the Crypt Keeper.
The Crypt Keeper,
The actual
Crypt. You remember that show on Nickelodeon?
Yeah, I feel like I do.
My favorite episode was with Bobcat Goldthwait in it.
This one's hilarious. So we got Camilla. Dear Sir Kristen, this side piece game is no joke. You got to play the long game. Ops be testing you daily. No cap. Took me a 20 stretch to secure the bag. Lil Cam X. That's it, guys. Oh, no, 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 no. And we're going to end it with this. The people of King's Landing seeing Aegon in the window for the fifth time that day.
Oh, what is it?
If you know, you know.
If you know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, thanks, guys. After that, we cut to Lena, Daemon's wife, is talking to her daughter. Her daughter is upset because she doesn't have a dragon. Lena tells the daughter, well, you need to, sometimes you have to, like, claim your right to being a rider, which is some foreshadowing.
Right.
That there's going to be a dragon without a rider pretty soon. You told me, this was after this scene, I don't know if this happened during this, but I made a note. Corey said to remind him to tell me about Lord Grover.
Oh, so I heard this, I think, on another podcast, or I heard somebody talking about it. So there's a Lord Grover. There's also about to be a Lord Elmo.
No.
Swear to God. And apparently one of their kids is going to be like Kermit.
I was about to say, is there a Bert and, yeah, and Ernest?
Apparently, now the Kermit part could have been a joke, but there is going to be like an Elmo or whatever. And like, it's George R. R. Martin, like he really digs the Muppets.
Wow.
And so he's including cool. all that, which is pretty cool.
Cool.
I think Kermit's, Elmo and Kermit, that's maybe a bridge too far.
Like, yeah, that
like,
might be.
Like Grover, we can all be like, all right, whatever. But like Elmo and Kermit, come on,
yeah,
bro. I mean, I'm for it.
Yeah.
I'm for it, but I could see people being like, kind of taking me out of the story here.
Exactly, exactly. So after that, we get to the King's Council meeting. I think it's interesting that Alicent and Rhaenyra in there. Back, let's say, when old Bobby B was king, he wasn't having women in there.
Bobby B.
Yeah.
No, no, hell no, no, he wasn't.
No, and so Rhaenyra is like, oh gosh, everyone has figured out that Harmon Strong's my baby daddy. Like,
hell, we tried to keep it so secret. I don't understand.
Well, or everyone's obviously starting to really care that he's my baby daddy.
It matters now. It matters.
And Allison's obviously not letting this go. So I am going to stand up. I'm going to swallow my pride. And she apologizes to Allison. She's like, you know what? There's been strife in our family. And if I've done something wrong, I sincerely apologize. To remedy this situation, I would like to propose a marriage between my son, Jacaerys, which is who will be the, if it goes how it's supposed to, will be the king after Rhaenyra dies.
Right.
I want him to marry your daughter, Helaena. So, in other words, Helaena will be queen.
Right.
And that sounds great. And Viserys says, the most judicious proposition.
He's so happy. Everyone's getting along.
He makes me want to cry.
I know. And Patty plays him so
He's
well.
He's so good.
Like, I just started reading the book. They really couldn't have, I mean, I don't know if they couldn't have picked a better person to play it, but he couldn't play it any better.
No, no.
Because, like, you really, even if he didn't say the words, you really understand, like, this guy just wants to have a family.
He does. He does. Well, and she has this long speech. Allison basically just points out that Rhaenyra's leaking milk and just wants to kind of embarrass
her.
Like,
by the way,
yeah.
She's like,
hey, so yeah. Then she just tells her really coldly, like, the king and I will consider the offer, which is hilarious to me because Viserys
clearly
could
wants
be
to
like,
do it.
He clearly wants to do it. He could be like, there's no considering it's
yeah,
happening.
Right. No, this is what we're doing.
He's just, I don't know. I don't know. He's just weak.
He wants to make her happy,
too. He doesn't like conflict. Viserys obviously lets Allison have a little too much control. He needs to just put his foot down.
If he has a foot.
Yeah. They have a scene where they're going up the stairs. Allison says, like, I'll have to basically be cold in my grave before you let something like that happen. Cut to her helping the king get comfortable in his chair. He's just suffering.
Yeah, he's basically like Anakin Skywalker right before he turns into Darth Vader. Like, he's just kind of a shell of a person.
Yeah.
Bring me leeches.
Yeah. So Lionel Strong walks in and it's like, you know what? I need to quit. I don't need to be the hand anymore. I can't give you the best advice because
I'm
compromised. And Viserys isn't having it. He's like, all right, well, then I want you to speak out loud what it is.
Say it
plainly. Out loud. And Allison's just like,
mm-hmm. You gonna do it?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And she's like, yeah, say it. Well, He doesn't say it. And he's like, all right, well, I mean, I'm refusing the resignation. And Lionel says, okay, well, at least let me bring Harwin to Harrenhal for a little bit. Like, he's eventually going to be the Lord of Harrenhal. Like, let me go over there. And the king's like, okay, cool. That's a good compromise.
Oh, no problem. Take a holiday.
He goes. He leaves the room. The queen leaves the room. All mad, which I thought was funny because after Viserys sat back down, he's like, well, aren't you going to make me comfortable? And she just walks out.
No.
Yeah. And so she's walking down the hall mad. And I don't know if you noticed, but there's a maid that kind of stops, sees that the queen is passing, and then quickly turns around and runs towards the king's chambers.
I did not see that. So you think there's a little something going on?
And I'm sure there's an understanding there.
Yeah, but Viserys just doesn't seem like that guy.
No, and maybe that maid is just trying to be.
Yeah, or maybe she just comforts him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because that's what happened with Alicent comforted him when Emma died, right. And it wasn't sexual
right.
at first.
Right,
you know, so...
I didn't notice that. Good eye.
Yeah, so after that, Lord Larys and Alicent have dinner. It's another thing. It didn't click with me that Larys was Harwin's brother.
Yeah, right.
And she says that she misses her dad and all this. And she's just like, I just wish someone, you know, could be on my side. And she said, I just wish I had someone in King's Landing that was partial to me.
Right.
And my dad would be partial to me. And so Larys takes that as, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, right.
Which in reality,
right.
She's not telling him to do anything.
There's
no insinuation at all that she wants Larys to do anything. She's just venting to him.
Right.
There is nothing. Nothing. So, right after that, we cut to Larys. He is, like, in the dungeon with the prisoners. You see his cane, and you notice the Firefly Vigil.
Mm-hmm.
He says to these prisoners, like, hey, if you do this, you can be free. But, you know, whatever. So, he cuts their tongues off, which is obvious, like, I own you. You can't talk. I'm also confused about how he has the power to just free prisoners.
Yeah, right. I don't get that either.
Yeah, I'm confused by that.
And also why he had to cut their tongues off. I mean.
Well, I guess it's just to say, like, I can do more. You can't talk and right.
well,
stuff like that.
They can rot.
We cut to Pentos, and Lena is in labor, and the baby's not coming.
Doggy style, by the way. She has the baby doggy
and
style.
And by the way, that is very common for women to do.
Okay,
not in the hospital, because doctors usually don't vibe that way, but in home births and stuff like that, it's
fair.
Very common.
I'm sure it is. It's just I've never seen it portrayed, so as soon as I've seen it, I was like, oh,
another cool thing.
Yeah, right.
Another cool thing. So, the baby's not coming. The... Maester, I guess it's a maester, goes up to Daemon and is like, you know, it's not working. The baby's not coming. The only thing I could think to do is to cut her open. And Daemon says, will the mother live? In other words, like, kind of a little.
I'm in the same situation.
Question that Viserys was, but if I have to choose, I want my wife to live.
Yeah, right.
You know. And he's like, no, she won't live. So, Lena is like...
Clearly in a lot of pain.
We cut to her walking up on the beach. Is it a beach kind of area?
It's a beach. It looks like a beach.
And she's got Vhagar out there. That's her dragon, who, by the way, out of all the dragons, he is the biggest dragon.
I thought Vhagar was a girl.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Do not misgender a dragon on this show.
I won't. It's even better that it's a girl.
Of course.
So, Vhagar is out there. She is the largest dragon in all of Westeros. And we're like, is she just wanting to like see her dragon? Or is she just thinking I'm going to die, so I want to ride my dragon one last time? Because earlier in the episode, she said, I want to die dragon rider's death.
Did she know she was going to die, though?
Yes,
okay.
She knew.
I didn't know
she
that.
Knew.
I thought she was just
but,
in a lot of pain.
I mean, I kind of thought like she could say at least
take
try.
The baby.
At least try.
I mean, come on.
But I don't know if, like, she knew more than likely the baby wasn't going to live. Whatever. Well, all of a sudden, she says weakly, Dracarys. And I'm like, nuh-uh, you did not.
No.
Like, nuh-uh. Like, you're not telling poor Vhagar to burn you. And Vhagar just has this look in her eyes like,
I'm not doing it.
She says it a couple more times. You see Daemon walk out, and he sees her. And he's like on like a little balcony situation looking down, sees her, and she just screams, Dracarys. And the look in the dragon's eye is pitiful. And he's
like Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah. She burns Lena alive. She wanted to go out a dragon rider's death. So peace out, Lena. Very, very sad.
Is that a dragon rider's death? I didn't know a dragon rider's death was to be burned alive.
I guess that's just an honorable, like, sacrifice something. Well, we cut back to King's Landing. Harwin is telling his kids and Rhaenyra bye. Rhaenyra has, like, there's just sadness there. He says, I'll promise I'll be back. He leaves, and then their son, Jace, asks Rhaenyra, like, is he
my
dad?
That's a normal name, Jace, I think.
Jacerys.
Yeah, right.
Jace for short.
Yeah.
And he asked his mom, like, is that my dad? Am I a bastard? And she's like, you're a Targaryen. That's all that matters.
Yeah, right.
You know. So she's holding back the tears. It's, you know, it's sweet. And she tells Jace, y'all can send ravens. It'll be fun. Which, there's ravens now.
Right, yeah. First mention of ravens, to my knowledge,
it's the first mention of ravens. Because remember, you know, in the Stepstones, that one guy just had to take that paper and then got the crap beat out of it by Daemon. And, so sad. Rhaenyra ends up, Laenor's play fighting, knighting, with his boyfriend. And we don't know his name yet, I don't think.
Carl.
Okay, Carl. And
with a Q.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Coral. Yeah, it's like
Coral.
Coral. Yeah. So she says to him, like, we got to go to Dragonstone. And she looks at him like, we'll need all the swords we can get.
Bring your boyfriend.
Carl. Yeah. And like I said, what an ally.
Oh, an absolute ally. Absolute. The Dolly Parton of Westeros.
Yes.
LGBTQ
yeah.
queen.
Yeah. She just, I mean, you know. She loves him. She wants him to be happy. Cut to Harwin and Lionel, and I guess some of their bannermen or something, riding to Harrenhal. And you, then right after that, you see in like a little Kermit cape, you see one of the tongueless guys there, and it's obvious that he's going to do something. And then you see the Firefly Vigil. Mm-hmm. In other words, I am Team Laris. Yeah. I'm wearing the Firefly. Yeah. Like, I'm on that team. And you're like, okay, well, something's going to be bad. Right after that, Harrenhal burns down with Lionel and Harwin Strong in there.
And their doors completely bolted shut, which I don't know how they got in there to do that.
I don't know either.
Without, you know, the chief commander of the City Watch not noticing. You'd think that
exactly,
guy would be pretty alert.
Exactly. And maybe he somehow drugged him. I don't know. But they burn alive. It's pitiful. Rhaenyra doesn't know about it yet. And so she shows up to Dragonstone like, I'm going to live my life. Cut to Viserys and his four strands of hair.
Just hanging on for it. Looks like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Looks like on SpongeBob, the little dried up plankton looking thing. You know, and looked out, and I didn't realize this. I saw it on Facebook. He has Emma's ring, and he kisses it, and he's heartbroken. He's gonna miss Rhaenyra. That's his baby, you know, like, it's pretty obvious to me.
It's the only thing he has left of Emma.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious to me that Rhaenyra is the favorite, because back in the fighting scene, when Aegon says, how dare he, talking about Harwin Strong, put his hands on me, the king is on Harwin Strong's side. He's like, Aegon, chill.
Yeah, hey, bro, he's doing the right thing.
Yeah, chill. Then a rat runs across the fireplace mantle, and he has a weird look on his face, and that has to be foreshadowing, and I'm sure all
like, there's a rat in my regime, or...
Yeah, something. There has to be foreshadowing, and I'm sure, like, if you've read the books, I'm sure it was perfectly clear, but, you know, which you're reading the books right now.
I am. I don't know nothing about a rat, though.
Yeah.
I've been reading it audiobook style in the park, and it is possible that I've missed some stuff, because sometimes I'm just like vibing in the trees.
Did the book start at this time, or is it before?
There's a bit, like, the prologue, which in classic George R.R. Martin fashion, in the prologue in the audiobooks takes an hour and 20 minutes to get through, and it's talking about old stuff and, like, sort of setting up old Valyria and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It takes a while to even get to Viserys and Rhaenyra.
Okay. Well, cut to the queen and Laris having their little dinner, their besties. She comes in and she's just, like, clearly upset.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh. Because, I mean,
Bro, did you hear? Because
she is a B-I-T-C-H, but she's not a completely evil.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, she's not a sadistic person.
She's just a regular bitchy woman.
Yeah, she's just like, oh my gosh, they died. Like, Harwin Strong and Lionel died. And Laris is like, Queen makes a wish, baby.
Yeah, right. I got you.
And she's
just like Polly Walnuts and The Sopranos. What? You said take care of it, huh? Yeah. I took care of it.
Yeah. She's like, I never said that. And then Laris says, I assume you're going to write to your father.
Mm-hmm.
But we want Otto Hightower back.
Right.
We want Otto Hightower back. And she realizes, oh my gosh, he killed his brother and his dad just so we could get Otto Hightower back and so he could be Lord of Harrenhal.
What a power play.
What a power play. What an evil person. Right. The only person I can think of that would do that would be, well,
Littlefinger.
Ramsay Bolton.
Ramsay Bolton for sure.
Oh, God, I hate him. I know.
Ramsay was worse than Joffrey, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, he was totally. And that was the end of the episode. Yeah, no, he's totally worse than Joffrey. But it's also, their evilness is rooted in their insecurities. Which
for sure.
That, I think that's most evil people.
Absolutely.
They were, you know, made fun of as a child, or, you know, they had sadistic parents that, you know, made fun of them and stuff like that. But, yeah, the only person that I could think of that is that evil, is Ramsay Bolton.
100%. Tremendous, tremendous episode. I give it 5 dragons. It's also setting up next week's episode, which is going to be a very action-packed, action-heavy. Matter of fact, I heard that the guy who's directing next week's episode was the director of The Battle of Bastards.
Oh, that's all I needed to know.
Yeah, right. So I don't know
if
that means it's going to be exactly like that, but they called him in for a reason.
Yeah, one thing, I don't know, if you watch the preview for next week, you notice that Renice and Corliss will be back, obviously, for their daughter's funeral.
Right.
I don't know how much they're going to play into the show, if this brings them back into the show where they're going to be full-time. I mean, I hope so, because, I mean, they're awesome.
Right.
You know, I feel like we're going to see their true feelings about the fact that Rhaenyra's kids aren't actually their blood relation.
Right.
I just have a feeling.
Right.
I mean, maybe they won't care. I feel Rhaenys might not care that much. Corliss definitely will.
Oh,
I mean,
100%.
He was all like, I want the kids to take my last name.
Yeah, that's his whole thing.
There's a scene where Rhaenyra, Alicent gets a knife and obviously is trying to get Rhaenyra. There's some intense stuff.
It's going
to be. Otto Hightower comes back too.
He sure does. Otto Hightower and the Sea Snake. Going to see them both on next week's episode of House of the Dragon. And we'll be talking about it on next week's episode of Little House of the Dragon. Thank y'all so much for liking, downloading, subscribing, telling all your friends, giving the Putting On Airs a 5-star review. Again, the best thing you can do is tell your friends. If they like House of the Dragon, they'll probably like this show because they're your friends and they probably have similar tastes to you.
Yeah.
You get it. You get it. So, I have been Lord Corey Ryan Forrester.
Lady Kirby Askew, first of her name.
And also, you could have gotten this episode early and ad-free if you subscribe at parttimefunnyman.com, which is where I'm going to be spending a lot of my time in the next couple of years because I'm having a child and I'm going to stay at home with it. So, check that out. And if you can't afford it, it's $5 a month, but if you can't afford it, just email buttercreamcorey@gmail.com, and I will take care of you. No questions asked. We love you, and as always, stay fancy.
Bye, guys.